The reading of God's word is coming from John chapter 6. I'm reading through from verse 25 to verse 44. But we'll just pray just bow our heads in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious word. Help us to keep it very close to us. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just be with us as we hear these words, that we'll be able to apply them to our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Says Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." This is the end of the reading.
Ooh, sorry about that. Morning, church. If you're visiting the first time, my name's Ross. It's great to have you here this morning. What an encouraging morning so far we've had. Been well served by our music team and Anisha and Avol and Hamant. It's great to be here this morning. Now, you'll know that I love to sing. And you love to hear me sing. So I'm going to start this morning with a song, all right? But here's the thing, you need to join in with me, okay? You'll know the song when I start. Here it goes. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Cause I try, and I try. I can't get no. All right, that wasn't so bad. I agree, it was pretty terrible. That's why I'm not part of the music team. But we all know Mick Jagger's famous song, don't we? But it's so true of the material things of this world that they will never satisfy us. It's such a true song. See, we're all looking for satisfaction in life, not just Mick Jagger. We all have that deep longing or ache in our hearts, our souls each day that needs to be satisfied, that needs to be quenched. We all know it's like an ache that just doesn't go away. If we're honest, we know that every single day. We're looking for something to fill that ache in our hearts. The problem is that we're looking for that desire to be filled in all the wrong places. By consuming the material things alive, even the things we do each day can be driven by a desire to satisfy the hunger of our hearts. But if they become the focus of our hearts, they won't be anything more than a sugar hit. We want more. The more we have, we just want more. Even this week, we experienced a great sporting event. 44% of our country watched the Matildas on Wednesday. That's extraordinary. What an amazing experience that was. Whether we won or lose, or won or lost, and we sadly lost, it doesn't last, does it? We want that experience again, and we had it again last night, and, or we lost. But we want to have that joy to last more than a fleeting moment. A joy that satisfies us no matter what we do or what we have. Something that will last. See, the deep human desire for satisfaction, I think, can be summarized in two categories. First, it's significance, and secondly, security. Yeah, one of the longings of our life is for significance, for our life to have purpose and meaning. We long for recognition, the praise of those around us for what we do. And we can easily then slip into the trap that what I do defines who I am. And so what I do becomes the pursuit of my life. It's all about what I do. And that I'll find satisfaction in that. You know, our careers, our skills, our ability, they become an endless pursuit driven by that longing in our hearts for significance. I remember when I was working at Macquarie on a trip to Japan, and I was a senior executive, and so the Japanese execs would stand there with their business card and they bowed down like this purely because of who I am. And I'm like, "G'day, mate, how are you going?" But for them, the title was everything. The significance of who you are is tied up in a title. I probably was a bit rude, well, not very respectful to them. That's their culture. But it says something about a title, doesn't it? It says something about you is wrapped up in what you do. You know, we're always looking for a time when I can say I've made it to the top. You know, whether it's work or sport. Even I can look at my family and say, "Oh, look how successful my whole family is compared." And we're always comparing it to others. We're always looking for significance in our life. The second one, satisfaction from security. It's all about what I have. It's all about the material things I have. You know, they'll provide security in the future. And if the more I have, nothing will impact me. The more things I have, I'll be secure in them. But here's the thing, we know that the more that we have, the more we want. We all know that's true. We all want to keep up with the Joneses. And you know what? There will always be someone with more money or a bigger house or better cars. And all those things are not really secure. It can be all taken away in an instant. We saw that great tragedy in Hawaii where an entire town gets wiped out. Houses, cars, lives in an instant. People going about their lives, happy, secure, everything's okay. One moment, destroyed. A great tragedy. You know, the stock market, your job, going along fine, next day can all be gone. Because ultimately all of that's out of our control. And so we try and hang on to things for security when they provide no security at all. I can't get no satisfaction. You're right, if you're seeking that in the material things of life, of significance and security, no, none of it will last. They will always let you down at some stage, whether you believe it or not. And often we don't believe it. We continue through life seeking those things that they'll satisfy that longing in my heart. So how do we navigate life? How do we navigate all the things that we have and all the things that we do that all come from God anyway, and not grasp them as the ultimate source of satisfaction? Because it's tempting every single day to do that. Well, true satisfaction is found in a person, in a personal relationship with Jesus. You will not find true satisfaction, significant purpose, security, hope outside of Jesus. You just won't. You can try. And we listen to that lie every single day. True satisfaction is found in Jesus and His will for your life. And I think it's because of this extraordinary promise from God in our passage today. If you've got your Bibles open, I think this is one of the great passages that brings significance and security and purpose and hope to our lives. Jesus says, verse 37, I will not cast you out. I will never drive you away. Those who the Father calls through faith in Jesus, He will never cast you out. Jesus will never let you go. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No matter what you do or what you have, and all those things come from Him anyway. You come to Jesus, He'll never drive you out. We've been trying to crack open the heart of Jesus this term. We've been, each week, coming across extraordinary verses that remind us of the heart of Jesus as He calls us to come to Him. And here's the great promise: we come to Him, He'll never drive us out. All those other things will disappoint, but Jesus never will. True lasting significance is found in being a child of God that we've sung about already this morning. True lasting security is found in God's strong right hand holding you firm, not just now, but to eternity. No matter what happens in life, whether you have the title, whether you're finding security elsewhere, you come to God through Jesus. He has you firmly by His hand. He'll never drive you out. Why would you look for satisfaction anywhere else than in the person of Jesus? Jesus said, come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden. Those seeking satisfaction in the wrong place, worrying about what will happen tomorrow, and the great promise, you'll find rest for your soul. That desire for your soul, your heart, will find satisfaction, rest, peace only in Jesus. The rest that lasts for eternity. The eternity that God has placed in the hearts of all people. For all the material things we see and touch and enjoy will be wiped out one day. So what does that rest look like now? How can Jesus satisfy me now? That's the question. Satisfaction is in the person of Jesus. How does He do it? Well, Jesus has come to me and you'll never be hungry. You'll never be thirsty. For Jesus, the bread of life, rescues us from the emptiness of life. We're trying to fill that emptiness in our hearts with things of this world, but it just will just remain empty. It will never satisfy us. Jesus rescues us from the emptiness of life. And so let me unpack that from John 6. As I said, you got your Bibles open this morning. And we'll start as we read this passage. We'll see first how Jesus shows His followers how empty we really are. We think we are full because of what we do and what we have. See, once the followers understand their utter emptiness, He tells them how to receive the satisfaction He gives. He's not just offering bread, He's offering the bread of life. And so what does that mean? Look at verse 22 to 24. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago in Matthew's Gospel, and we see how Jesus' miracle had produced a frantic interest for many who witnessed it. You know, he feeds the 5,000, and they just keep following and come after him. They're in search of Jesus, and it seems like the right response, doesn't it? Right? People following Jesus seems like a good response, but they could not figure out where he'd gone. So they're looking for him, they're searching for Jesus, and when they finally discover him, they couldn't see how he had arrived there, not having witnessed again one of his miracles of walking on water, as we read in verses 16 to 21. And eventually they find Jesus. We're at verse 25 now, and their immediate question is understandable. Look with me at verse 25. "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Or in effect, "How on earth did you get here?" They've been searching, and suddenly Jesus appears. Jesus does not answer by going into details, our ability to walk on water, but instead addresses their spiritual emptiness. Just a little bit of background of how we get there, and now Jesus is going to address their spiritual emptiness. He says in verse 26, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." See, Jesus is saying that their spiritual condition is not just relatively superficial, you know, just looking after looking for a miracle worker. It's much deeper than, much worse than that. For what looks like spiritual desires are really only basic material desires. They've had a good meal, and they want to keep on being fed. It's all about what they have. And so Jesus redirects their desires by telling them that, generally speaking, they're not to work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, in verse 27. Jesus does mean that they should not work merely for food. It's not wrong to earn a living. That is, we must work in order to eat. We read that in 2 Thessalonians 3. We know that work is good. They should not be fixed on the material well-being, though. It's necessary to take care of the body and to work for food and material survival. But this should not be the focus of our lives. Work for food is not what brings significance in our lives. See, with that statement, Jesus began to reveal the spiritual realities he wanted people to see. See, he was saying there are two kinds of bread, of a material bread that perishes and a spiritual bread that leads to eternal life. See, verse 28, "What must I do to do the work God desires?" See, the followers are just, again, it's all about what I do. They've missed the subtlety of Jesus' reply. Now, Jesus is calling them and us to a higher and more important work. He wants them to work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Work that satisfies eternally. There is something we do that will satisfy us. And Jesus makes it plain in the statement, and this is one of the greatest, I think, evangelistic texts for us of all time. "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent," in verse 29. That's the work that brings significance. That's the work that brings satisfaction. And it's important to realize that though Jesus is asking them to work, he's not thereby suggesting that they'll earn this eternal life. It's still a gift given only by Jesus. Jesus, God's appointed Savior. It's he who gives us eternal life. Jesus is not making a works righteous point. We want to be clear about that. He's just saying that the fundamental concern of our lives should not merely be about doing well materially. It's not just working for food, seeking the world's honor in what you do, seeking the praise of men, thinking that will satisfy you. The fundamental concern of our lives should be about eternal life. That's what we should be on about. That's what satisfies us. That's what makes us significant and secure, is to be concerned about eternal life, which is God, Jesus' gift alone. If you want to find true satisfaction in life, come to Jesus and be about His business. Do His work. And that is for people to believe in the name of Jesus. Jesus wants them and us to believe in Him in some exclusively and utter committed manner. As I said, to be committed to the work of eternal life. Is that the thought of your day? Or am I just thinking about the work and what I have in front of me? Am I thinking about eternity? And so the followers naturally ask in return, why should we believe in Him? In fact, they ask what sort of sign He will give them in verse 30. And so one writer commented in verses 30, 31, one of the most idiotic statements ever uttered. Let me read what he said. Remember, these are the people who have just seen the feeding of the 5,000, and they would like to be able to have some more bread for free. But now they ask Jesus whether He'll give them bread from heaven, as Moses did. Now, surely Jesus must have been tempted to reply, well, what do you think I just did for you? They're so blind, aren't they? But again, we see the heart of Jesus here is utterly gracious. Verse 32, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven. They knew that, but perhaps it was good for them to remind them that Moses was merely a channel, not the author of the miracle of manna. No, the manna bread came from the Father in heaven. And now in Jesus' day, the bread of God is actually not just feeding the 5,000. What that feeding represents, namely Jesus Himself. He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, in verse 33. Jesus, the one who gives life in all its fullness. You'll never experience that fullness outside of Jesus. You never will. Any work outside of God's purpose will let you down. In fact, as we read verse 31, they really led with their chins here. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. See the need for security? It's all about what they have. They just want more bread to feed on. They're just worried about their stomachs and what they're going to have to eat. And I think this is where Jesus wanted to have them and where we need to sit for the moment so He could tell them what He could do for them. Look at verse 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, the natural human instinct in their minds, they want this bread, verse 34, where is it? And Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will be satisfied, hunger and thirst no more. Here is the great security offered to all who believe. Never hunger, never thirst. The bread that satisfies. Jesus is that bread. And so we are to feed on Him in our hearts by faith. And you'll be satisfied. As we've learned already through this series, you'll find rest for your soul. And we've learned that Jesus' yoke is easy and His burden is light compared to the pressures of life, striving for significance in what you do, than whose you are. Remember, Jesus says, come to me, I'll never cast you out. The burden of constantly wanting and working for more and more, for security than the work that leads to rest, to believe in the one God has sent. That's the work we've been called to. If we're not thinking about eternity every day, how are we going to go and make disciples? If we're so fixated on the things of this world, how are we going to tell people about eternity? Now, I'm sure you notice you can only eat bread, you can't also drink it. We come to Jesus as bread of life, and in his coming to him, we find that both our need for food is satisfied, we'll never be hungry. We're also, our need for drink will be satisfied, we'll never go thirsty. Jesus has meant the bread of life literally here. We could not have encouraged them to come and not be thirsty. It's a metaphor describing something beyond the literal. But what does this metaphor really mean? Well, the next few verses, perhaps somewhat frustrating to them and to us, don't really explain what Jesus means by being the bread of life. But I think it means that he is our sustenance. Apart from Christ, nothing satisfies. You know, the best fishing trips must be followed by another fishing trip. The most exquisite meal still leaves you hungry. And C.S. Lewis says, I cannot find a cup of tea which is big enough, or coffee, or a book that is long enough. We want more. You know, you can play the best game of golf, be at your best, but it has to be followed by another game. You can have a great Sunday dinner, but it has to be followed by an even better breakfast in the morning. You can wear the fanciest clothes, but you'll have to buy new clothes next year. See, all these things are like a Chinese dinner. In just a few hours, you're empty and ready to eat again. Is that true? I think that's true. No disrespect for Chinese. All those things will leave you empty. You'll just want more. Jesus, the bread of life, is our sustenance. God says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Isaiah 55, verse 1 to 3. What a glorious promise of God. Give ear to me and come to hear me, and your soul may live. And that is found in Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus says, come and you'll never thirst. Come and you'll never be hungry. Always fully and eternally satisfied. And when I come back to verse 37, why we can trust Jesus in this promise for sustenance, that he will always satisfy us, because of the promise that we need to learn. I think we need to delight in it. Whoever comes to Jesus, he will never drive away. Why is that? Because that is the will of God himself. You know, John 6 verse 37 is not just a matter of God's divine decree, but a divine desire. This is the heart of God, to come and he'll never drive you out. You know, for those united to him, the heart of Jesus is not a rental. It's your new permanent residence. You are not a tenant, you are a child. His heart is not a ticking time bomb. His heart is the green pastures and still waters of endless reassurance of his presence and comfort and provision. Whatever our present spiritual reality is, because that is who he is. And here is the assurance for us as we look for satisfaction in our lives. If we're seeking significance in what we do and security in what we have, Jesus says, come and feed on me, the bread of life, and be on the work of the Father. So how do we feed on Jesus? What does it mean to come to him? We asked that in first week when Jesus says, come to me. How do we come to him? Well, we come to him in his word and prayer. We need to be nourishing our soul daily with the life-giving word of God and the intimacy of prayer with our Saviour. That's where we feed on him. That's how he satisfies us with his living word. Because God reveals his will for us, for those who live in relationship with Jesus. And we see as we read God's word and his will for us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light compared to the pressures of the world. The temptation to find significance in who you are and what you do. Jesus' will, God's will is easy and his burden's light. The life God calls us to is to love God and to love others. A life of serving others as Jesus served us. To be content with what we have by being generous in supporting the work of the Father. And what's the work of the Father? That all shall believe in Jesus have eternal life. Friends, I think finding satisfaction in life is all about our priorities. Will we put Jesus first in our life? Will he be more than just our Saviour? Is he the Lord of our life? See, we're all called to help each other feed on Jesus and find true satisfying life. See, as we gather here, church is not just about attending. It's about participating. As Nisha experienced this morning, so encouraged. As our music team has served us, as our audio serves us. It's all part of us meeting together, encouraging, building each other up. So that we can hear the life-giving word of God together. We gather to speak the truth in love in our growth groups as we're vulnerable to each other. As we share our struggles, our temptations. So that we can point each other to Jesus who satisfies us. We participate in what God has called us to together. Friends, we're cracking open the heart of Jesus this term. We're peering down deep in who he is. But who he is for you. The one who laid down his life for you. And the invitation for you this morning is simply to come to him again. To feed on him. And you'll never thirst. You'll never hunger. You'll find satisfaction and rest for your soul. And we're going to do that now. We're going to approach Jesus now together in prayer. Being fed through his word, we've been encouraged through his song as we've read it, we've heard God speak to us. Let's approach him together in prayer. Where are you looking for significance in life? What are you tempted to look beyond Jesus, who's the one, the bread of life, who will satisfy you most deeply? Let's pray that our lives will be orientated to eternity and to the work of the Father. Nothing else makes sense without that. Will you come with me to Jesus this morning? To his invitation, the one who will never cast you out. Let's crack open the heart of Jesus together. Let's approach him this morning. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life, the one who came down from heaven to redeem us, that through your death, you forgive us. Through your resurrection, you set us free from the slaves of sin and death. And that you give us rest for our soul now and for all eternity. Lord Jesus, we thank you for every good thing that you give us. We do thank you for work. We thank you for the material things that we have in our life that comes from you. But Lord Jesus, help us not to trust in those things, but to trust in you alone. And Lord Jesus, we come this morning to feed on your heart and your again this morning. Lord Jesus, fill our hearts afresh with your word, and by your Spirit transform us, and that we'll find deep satisfaction in life. Significance and security in being a child of God now and forevermore. And Lord Jesus, thank you for the great promise that whoever comes to you will never drive out. What an extraordinary promise. Lord Jesus, satisfy us afresh this morning. May we feed on you, the bread of life, now and forevermore. Amen.